Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. It's a pleasure once again spending time with you in the Word of God. We're going through the New Testament line by line, studying all of our favorite topics and seeking answers to all the tough questions that we have in the context and flow of the Word of God. We come today to Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 15. I know it's been a while since I published an audio recently, but life happens sometimes, and it's hard to get to things when you have a family and you are working and trying to make a living and so forth. So I apologize to those who had to wait a little long, but we're back, and we'll try to keep these up as often as possible. All right, we're in Romans chapter 6, verse 15, and Paul once again anticipates a question. Paul had said in verse 14 that sin shall not lord it over you, for you, referring to the Jews, are not under law, but under grace. Now remember, the law wasn't eliminated. The isles will one day wait for God's law. And Paul is dealing with a Jew outside the land who was not able to keep all the ceremonies. And Paul is telling them they weren't missing the mark by not being able to do all those ceremonies. Grace covered them outside the land, and therefore there could be no finger pointing at them. So Paul then anticipates another question in verse 15 when he says, what then? Shall we miss the mark because we are not under law but under grace? And again, remember Paul, I said before, kept the law. So did Ananias, Elizabeth, and many others. So we have to understand the sense of what is being said here. The Jews were outside the land, and many probably thought, well, we can't make it to Jerusalem all the time, so are we missing the mark by not doing all those ceremonies? And so that's really the thought going on here. And Paul says, God forbid. And then he gives a statement here. He goes, know ye not that to whom you are presenting yourselves slaves to obey, his slaves ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So in other words, there's a general principle. Whoever you present yourself as a slave to obey, you're that person's slave, period. And the two options here are sin or obedience. Those are the two slave masters. And Paul says this, verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin. Now, I know some people say that that Paul was thanking God that they were sinners, that they were one-time slaves for sins. That's not what this is saying at all. Paul is, you got to read this correctly. Paul, in verse 17, but thanks be to God that you were the slaves of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or that type of doctrine to which you were handed over. That's what Paul is saying. He wasn't thankful that they were slaves of sin. He was thankful that though they were once the slaves of sin, they obeyed from the heart the type of doctrine that was handed over to them. That's what Paul is saying. He's not rejoicing in sin, as some think, or thanking God for sin. What Paul is saying here is the question that is being asked here, are we missing the mark because we're not under law but under grace? Paul says, absolutely not. Remember this, you have obeyed from the heart that form or that type of teaching unto which you were handed over. And because you believed what God has said, you believed God's latest information, you're already hitting the mark. You're already hitting the mark. You don't have to worry about missing the mark. You've already started off on the right foot by believing, by obeying from the heart the message that God has given you, the message to which you were handed over. That's the point here. See, they were worried about missing the mark, and Paul's saying, don't worry, you're hitting the mark when you believe this message. And he says, being then made free from sin, and they were made freed from sin outside the land. They didn't have to be in Jerusalem or observing all the temple rituals to do that. Being made free from sin by believing this message, you became the slaves of righteousness. So Paul's saying you've already presented yourselves to obedience. You're already a slave. You believed, and you're already starting off on the right foot. Just recognize it. You're already a slave to God, a slave to righteousness, because you're believing what he says. Now remember, I said before, you have to be careful with this word sin, because sometimes we set the bar for what sin is. We invent sins, and sometimes we set it too high, or sometimes we set it so low that we don't know what's right or wrong anymore. So we have to be careful on this word sin here, but it means to miss the mark. So when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe the teaching that God has given you through his word, you're already hitting the mark. And you can live a life pleasing to God right now. Remember, this whole section of Scripture is about service to God. It's about service. In chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, it's about walking in newness of life. In chapter 6, verse 15 through 7, verse 6, it's about serving in newness of spirits, a new kind of service. And so this is the context here. It's about service. Verse 19. And I'm going to, the King James reads, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. And let me just retranslate it this way. I am using an illustration taken from the affairs of men because of your weakness. Now here's his illustration. For as ye have yielded your members as servants to uncleanness and to lawlessness unto lawlessness, even so now yield your members slaves to righteousness for holiness. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. Now, what is Paul referring to here? When was this that they were yielding their members as slaves to uncleanness and to lawlessness? Well, it's not when they were, quote, unsaved. It's referring to the Romans 7 experience. It's referring to the Romans 7 experience. Remember, we said that the law was the schoolmaster that leads to Christ. This slavery to sin is going to be illustrated here in Romans chapter 7, where the man had the love for the law of God and after the inward man, but he had another law working within his members. And that's the time when they were slaves of sin. In Romans 7, the man couldn't do as he pleased. He was a slave of sin. Even though he loved the law of God, he was free from righteousness. He loved God's law but couldn't do it. The law was constantly there to show him his failures. But now that Christ has come, there's a new kind of service. That's going to be the point here. Paul says, what fruit had ye then in those things where ye are of now ashamed? That's why the man in Romans 7 yells out, O wretched man that I am. For the end of those things is death. Now, the word death here is not is figurative death. It's not referring to biological life or death in these verses here. Remember, the subject is service, this figurative language here, just like we're going to see in Romans 7 here. For the end of those things is death. The end of that kind of service only leads to death. And Paul describes what that death is in Romans chapter 7. But then he says, but now being made free from sin and become slaves to God. Now, how did that happen? It happened when they believed the type of teaching to which they were handed over. The type of teaching is a teaching they learned, the sum total of what Paul taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole portion of the first 5 and 6 chapters of Romans is that type of teaching. As Adam was a type of the coming one. Well, we learned that Jesus Christ was the reality there in Romans 5. So being me free from sin and become slaves to God by believing this message, by obeying from the heart that form of doctrine, that type of doctrine to which you were handed over, you have your fruit unto holiness in the end, aeonian life. You have your fruit unto holiness now because you believe this type of teaching. This is power for service now, Paul is saying. And we're going to get more into that in Romans 8, that's power for service now. And remember, this is the Acts period, especially when the Spirit of God was given in a measure that was outward and manifest. And so they had this power manifested, and they became slaves to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end aeonian life. In the future kingdom of God, not only do they have fruit now, but in the future kingdom of God, they're going to be used by God to flow out to others. That they're going to be used by God to bring the great blessings of Abraham to the nations. And then he says this, verse 23. It's King James says, for the wages of sin is death. And that's not quite accurate. It's really the rations of sins. It's low wages. It's low wages work. For the low wages of sin is death. And we have a figure of speech here. Death is not low wage. I don't consider them any kind of wages. But the point is, it's low wage work. It's slave labor. But the gift of God, or the favor of God, is aeonian life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have low wages, which you barely survive on, versus gift of God, which brings a full life. It's aeonian life. In the future kingdom of God, you're going to flow out to others. So these terms here for death and life are figurative because it's not referring to biological life. It's referring to, in the kingdom of God, there are going to be many people alive. Some will have aeonian life, and some will not have aeonian life, but there'll be all of them will be alive biologically, but some have a life that flows from God out to others, and others won't. We've talked about this in previous programs. So Paul continues. Verse 1, are you ignorant, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, and that word, Greek word is know by experience, and I believe full-heartedly here that this is referring to the Jew, and it's referring to the Mosaic Code as a whole. That I speak to you the no law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. And then he gives an illustration of that in verse 2. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband is dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband's dead, she is free from the law, so that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So the law of the husband was this. Here's a woman who's loosed or freed from a law regarding the relationship to the husband. The law set up boundaries with regards to that relationship, but if the husband dies, that law is no longer in effect to the woman. That's the whole point. That law no longer applies to her. And then now Paul says, wherefore, applying this example, my brethren, and he's again referring to the Jews, you also become dead to the law through the body of Christ. Dead to the law in what way? Paul kept the law as late as Acts 22, we saw. Ananias kept the law. Elizabeth, Zechariah, were they dead to the law in the sense of denying its requirements? And we mentioned before, in the future, the law of God is going to go out to the nations. Is that what it means? That the law itself is gone forever? And the answer is no, obviously not. They're dead to the law in the sense of it's being a place where they're being condemned now. Christ has now come. The law was a schoolmaster to lead to Christ. Now here comes Christ. And so Christ brings a new kind of life to someone, and he didn't obliterate the law. He even said himself in the Gospels, I didn't come to undo the law, but to fulfill it. And so this is the point here, that this condemnation that the Romans 7 man is going through is now going to be lifted through Christ. And so he goes, we become dead to the law through the body of Christ. I think that's referring to him, the actual body of Christ, not a body of believers here. In order that ye should become or belong to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we should bring forth fruit unto God. In other words, now that Christ has come, there's a new meaning to your life. We're now united to Christ, Paul is saying to the Jew here. You're now united to the Messiah, the promised one, the one that the law pointed to. You're united to him now. Life has new meaning. And then he says this. He says that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now notice this, again, it's about service. It's about fruit bearing. And then he says, for when we were in the flesh. Now this phrase here, when we were in the flesh, and think personally, this is referring to the Jews under the law, the man of Romans 7. It's not referring to the, quote, unsaved state. Some people say, well, when you were in the flesh means, but when you before you were saved. I don't think it refers that to that at all. I don't think it's referring to that. As a matter of fact, in Romans 8, verse 8, again, the subject is the law of God, which the Gentiles are never given. So what says here, but the mind of the flesh, verse 7 of chapter 8, is enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The subject there is service, and it's the Romans 7 experience. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins, which were by the law or through the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Paul explains that again when we get to the Romans 7, the man who has that Romans 7 experience, as we're going to see. But now Paul says we are delivered from the law, having died in that in which we were held down. Notice that phrase, held. It's held down. The law before Christ held the Jew back from full service. It was a schoolmaster. It was like training wheels. But there, it's a necessary experience. But you can't keep under that old way of things. It only holds you back. There comes a point where a person grows up and he's let go to go on to his full of potential. Imagine, you don't put a man who's 22 years old under a schoolmaster still. A schoolmaster is only for the young person who still needs to be trained. But once the person reaches full age and manhood, you don't keep him under the schoolmaster anymore. That would only hold him back from going out and succeeding. In other words, Paul here is saying we were delivered from the law in the sense we've been talking about in this context, in order that, again, it's the Jew being referred to here, having died in that which we are held down, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. And the Jew can do this outside the land. It's a new kind of service now. No longer being held down. No longer crying out, oh, wretched man that I am. And now they have Christ, and they have the fulfiller of all that. And so it's serving in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. Now what's going to happen in the rest of this chapter, from verse 7 through 25 of chapter 7, we're going to see what oldness of letter service looks like. And then in chapter 8, we're going to see what newness of spirit service looks like. Remember, before Christ, the Jew was held down, held back from full service. But after Christ, They're able to. They're being let go. They're being treated like adults. Being treated like mature people, and that's the difference. The law wasn't abolished. The law wasn't abolished, but Israel being treated like a child was, under a schoolmaster, and it was meant to say, you can't do this, you can't do that, and only kept on showing them how wrong they are. Now, I treat my children today different than I did when they were little. I have a young girl, Ava. She's 8, and I also have a boy who's 20. How old is he now? What year is it? He's 20. He's going to be 26 in a couple weeks. Now, do I still instruct my son? Yes. But do I treat him like I treat my little girl, Ava? Absolutely not. I instruct my little girl in just about everything, but as she gets older, I give her a little more leeway, but my son, who's 25, going to be 26, I don't tell him what to do at every moment. I treat him like an adult. If I see him doing something wrong, I say, hey, look, I got some advice for you. See, that's the difference. My Ava is like Israel under law. It's a necessary time, but there's coming a time when she's going to be let go and not be held down and go out and reach her full potential. But my son Timothy, he's already there, but I still instruct him. That's how the law is with Israel. It's applied as under a schoolmaster with my little girl Ava, but it's applied as an adult with my son Timothy. Does that make sense? That's what the meaning is here. My son's no longer held down. He's out in the world now making something of himself. He's not being held down as in my household, being constantly under my watchful eye like my little daughter Ava is. But both are necessary. Both experiences are necessary. And so that's what Paul is referring to. So keep that in mind when we read Romans 6, verse 15 through chapter 7 and 8. It's the difference between my little girl Ava and my son Timothy. All right, I'm going to stop here, and I'll pick up in verse 7 next time. I would have divided these chapters differently. I would have put up a chapter break. As a matter of fact, the way I would have done it is I would have had chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 as one chapter. Chapter 6, verse 15 through 7, 6 is another chapter. Chapter 7, verse 7 through 25 is another chapter, and then chapter 8 is another chapter, because they're different topics from a different light. So we just seen here in Romans 6, verses 1 through 14, we're treading about in newness of life. There's life has new meaning. And in chapter 6, verse 15 through 7, 6, we have serving in newness of spirit, a new kind of service. And we'll pick up in verse 7 next time. Remember, chapter 7, verse 7 through 25 illustrates oldness of letter service, and chapter 8 demonstrates newness of spirit service. Again, we'll pick that up next time. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Keep searching the scriptures to see whether these things be so.